Welcome to episode 110 of The Kraken Pod, a podcast for Seattle Kraken fans, those new and old to hockey and hockey fans looking to have fun along with you. We try to go into what lies beneath when it comes to everything Seattle Kraken and the NHL. So you're telling me there's a chance. Is this a Kraken therapy episode? I think so. And you know what we're talking about. NHL news, the playoff push that does not include us, at least somewhat. And this is cool. Which players should be on a behind-the-scenes NHL show? Fun conversation that doesn't involve the Seattle Kraken and getting us depressed. So we'll talk that. NOTAM questions. What are typical goalie splits? Awesome, solid hockey question. I love it. And then our three stars of the week, Joey and I talk about what's going on in our personal lives. We got a lot of Kraken stuff to talk about. Welcome to episode 110 of The Kraken Pod. Let's go! What's up? Hey, by the way, that's probably the happiest I'm going to be. This episode is the beginning. My name is Jeff Januzik. This is my friend and co-host,
Joey Cirillo.
How are you, man?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good, man. Despite, you know, without getting into it too quickly here, despite this team being a fucking earmuffs, a fucking disaster dumpster fire to watch at the moment, I've been really good. Life has been really good outside of the world of Seattle Kraken hockey. How about you?
Good. Record earmuffs, by the way. I love it. But that's that's what everybody else is feeling right now. So I love that. I'm good. I feel like the state of the team kind of reflects my life right now. Like, nothing bad, you know what I mean? But we're getting a lot of the Lord, Father Canner is testing us in a lot of ways right now. Last week on Thursday, it was planned and we needed to do it. So it wasn't an emergency stuff, but my daughter had ear surgery. So she had to have this whole like patched up. Like, all my kids had to have tubes because like their eustachian tubes isn't closed. It's typical with kids. A lot of kids have this problem, right? A lot of ear infections. It's because water and all these things and sinuses, like stuff gets stuck in your, it can't drain. So basically, you get tubes to drain ears. Right?
Just walking around leaking from their heads all the time.
Just stuff leaking everywhere, super which cute. Is typical for having kids. There's just stuff leaking everywhere always. So she has surgery on Thursday. That's one of the twins. Friday, other twin comes down with the flu. Of course. Saturday, son comes down with stomach bug. Sunday.
Good Lord.
Dude.
Everybody's leaking everything.
It was so intense. Like, my mother-in-law, like, They're super great, but like, she came over on Monday and just dropped off like a week's worth of food, like, from her freezer.
Man, that's a game changer.
That was awesome,
dude.
That's
a life-saving move.
No, props to Susu this week because she brought over like turkey gumbo, all this awesome. Because like, we were on Saturday or Sunday, I don't know when it was, like, my wife and I were like, it was crazy. So,
damn, it takes a village, right?
It's been nuts. And then like, literally today, this morning, my son woke up with a rash on his face, and it was like, we just found out from the doctor that he's good. It's just like, it's like the final push from his stomach bug that he had. So like, dude, also too, I had an allergic reaction to something in the house, so I was working on stuff.
Yeah, remember, I saw you post like a video about that. I'm like, dude, you're about to freaking go to the doctor before you pull a migral on me.
I did. You remember last week on the episode, 109, I was talking about how I was doing electrical stuff and like, I shut off the, you know, breaker before I do electrical stuff.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's smart. Good job.
Well, I did. I thought I was working on another thing, taking a fan down from the ceiling. And because this is an older house, well, guess what? Some circuits are here and some circuits are there. So I thought I shut everything off. So I electrocuted myself, just a little buzz. And then shortly afterwards, I get hives everywhere. And we don't know what. But anyway, like, dude, for 2 days, my joints were all swollen. Like, anyway, long story short.
For electricity.
Welcome to the Middle Age Podcast.
Told you that this was a National Lampoon scenario waiting to happen. I verbatim said that.
It's just been crazy. It's everything's okay, but we've been through it. And I feel like it kind of mimics what the Kraken are going through right now. So
okay.
I'm going to use that as a chance to, let's get to your Kraken reaction. Well, dude,
this team sucks. Let's move on. No, I'm kidding.
Well, I mean, like, okay, so Joey and I were talking before the pod starting is like, Joey is meticulous with his notes. He's stat man, and all of his stats are still pretty good from reviewing the games, but he on purpose, he told me, he's like, I didn't get too much into the stats. Like, you know, he usually has this guy scored, this did it, because we're so depressed over what's been going on that he just kind of kept it pretty simple, you know? Yes. So anyway, long story short is, your Seattle Kraken are really rough right now. Unless they rattle off a 1,000-game win streak right now, ain't nothing happening. This
Gary
team
Bettman extends the season just for Seattle, and they also, it's not happening.
It's not going to happen right now. Money Puck has us. Hey, there's a chance, 0.7% chance.
Oh, okay.
So I'm pretty sure
last piece of pie.
Pretty sure that means that we have to win every single game from here on out, and every other team in the NHL has to lose every single game. So I don't know if that's actually possible, but there's a 0.7% chance. Yeah. There's a 100% chance, though, that once the Kraken are officially eliminated from the playoffs, this is going to turn into a, like, if we're going down, I'm taking everybody down with us. Like, our accounts are going to go into the Vegas Golden Knights fans, who are so delusional, because they're literally barely clinging on to the second wild card spot, and they're coming at us. They're like,
I love it.
They're coming at us from the tweet I put out last year, kind of like making fun of them, and they're quoting it. So like, the trolls are out already, but I'm going to go full troll. Just prepare yourself, Joey. Like, I want to just troll other teams that we don't like.
Yeah. Let's just, you know, as long as we avoid any misplaced slew foot jokes, I think we're in a good spot, Jeff.
Dude, you had to go there too. Like, I'm already struggling with life. You had to bring up my one fumble that we've had on this podcast. So,
oh God. Yeah.
Look, there's some things I want to say about this team. You want to just roll through?
Because again, and I'm happy that you brought that up. I appreciate you setting that up. I didn't want to go into a lot of stats here because the Kraken, you know, on their 5-game homestand, Jeff, they came away with 1 point out of a possible 10. They did not win any games, and it was incredibly depressing. So I'm like, why am I going to sit here and recap all the games? We can briefly go over them. And then I think it would just make more sense to have an overall talk just about the state of the Seattle Kraken. And I would love to hear just your take on them right now and also what they need moving forward, blah, blah, blah. Because I think we might have a difference in opinion, which would be fantastic. So Tuesday versus Las Vegas, they lose 5-4 in overtime. Here's my big note of the game in all caps. You cannot lose this game. You cannot lose this game. The Kraken are up 4-2. 11 minutes and 30 seconds into the third period, and they end up giving up two goals. The last one being with 17 seconds left, and then losing overtime against the team that you're trying to catch. And this is why the Vegas Golden Knights fans are coming after us. And they, because you know what? I would be doing the same fucking shit, because it's this fair. Is a game that the Seattle Kraken could not lose. And then, you know, you had the trolls tagging us and things, being like, oh, is this the moment that the Vegas Golden Knights buried the Seattle Kraken? Yeah, you're not wrong.
Yeah, I mean, no, it was
ridiculous. It was brutal. And that's just, I mean, I can move on to the next game against Washington. Is there anything else you want to say about this game? Because this was the game for me where I'm like, they're done. They're
no,
close.
You know,
you can't lose this game.
You nailed it. Like, the overtime goal, Eichel's overtime goal, like, yeah, Carlson was holding the shit out of, I forgot who was even attempting to play some defense.
Yes.
But like, that's, of course, yeah, that absolutely should have been called. It's overtime, not going to be called, but we gave up a 4-2 lead. So like, we choked and got to that point. So at that, it was moot at that point. So
yeah, that's exactly it, Jeff. The team should not have even been in position for that to happen. Mm-hmm. If we're at the point where we're like, what about that hold in overtime? Why the fuck is the team even getting to that point? It's moot.
So right here, I'm not going to say it yet, but like, that's one, that game right there is one point for my take on this team. All right. So okay. One point, I have something to say there. All right.
I'm excited.
So
we're going to blow through this.
Yep.
Thursday versus Washington. I, to quote DJ Khaled, you played yourself.
Oh, I thought you were going to say like, the best music.
No, yeah. We the best, but the opposite of the best. this was a very frustrating game because despite playing very well, the Seattle Kraken beat themselves. This is like a Tyler Durden situation in Fight Club, you know, just like constantly beating the shit out of our... I mean, so they lose 2-1. The second goal being Connor McMichael has a breakaway in the third period after Bjorkstrand just gives the puck away. And the two goals that the Washington Capitals used to beat the Seattle Kraken both came off of massive Seattle Kraken turnovers. And everyone that watched that game knows that the Seattle Kraken beat themselves. They found a way to lose. And that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, we can just keep going.
Cool. Saturday versus Nashville. Fucking beatdown. Roman Josi scores twice. Nashville extends their point streak to 14 games. It's weird. They're playing like they're a team that wants to play in the playoffs, unlike the Seattle Kraken. Their win streak, their point streak in 14 games is the second longest in franchise history, which ties their 2015-2016 season. And this is a notable note to make here, and I'm sure this is something that we can talk about as well, but Vince Dunn, this is the fifth straight game that he missed, and Jaden Schwartz is third straight game. And at this point, after this game, the Seattle Kraken are 9 points behind Las Vegas for the second wild card spot with 16 games left.
Yep. No, I think that that's another point to the point that I'm going to make about, cool, the team and where we're at. Vince Dunn, big part of that being out.
Yes.
Okay.
And
I want to say this is if I'm a Western Conference team, I don't want to play Nashville. That to me right now is the scariest team because they've consistently just been hungrily marching towards the playoffs for the last 2 months. The other teams in the Western Conference, minus a few, have all had stumbles, but the Preds have not, and they honestly are a dark horse team to me.
Yes. And right when you think things cannot get any worse, Jeff, lo and behold, they do. Monday versus Buffalo, the Kraken lose 6-2. Jeff Skinner gets the hat trick. The Seattle Kraken give up 3 goals on 6 shots in under 6 minutes to start the game after going up 1-0 24 seconds into the game off a goal by Jordan Eberle. Joey Decor gets pulled. Still a pro Joey Pod, but Joey Decor gets pulled. Grubauer comes in. 3 more goals get given up. And the Seattle Kraken get blown out by Buffalo at home. And again, I already mentioned this, but I'll say it one more time because this is fucking huge. 0-5 on the homestand. 1 point, the overtime loss to Vegas that they should not have lost out of a possible 10 points. And that's the nail in the coffin. The door is shut. I don't care that there's still a quote-unquote chance here. The Seattle Kraken are toast for this season playoffs, period.
Not lost on me that all of these teams, even Buffalo, all the teams we lost to the last four games, all in the playoff push, either, trying to, get somewhere different, trying to, but all of them fighting for their lives and they played like it and, the Kraken didn't do it. So
no,
where do you want to start? Cause I've got some things to say.
You go ahead, man. I do think that we need to talk about just current and future state of the Kraken and things that we would like to see. I would love to hear your take on. We have not had a chance to talk about this, so please go ahead and take the floor.
I'm going to start with Vince Dunn. Vince Dunn being gone, and that just makes me so mad with Calgary.
Pospisil.
And what's his name? Popsy.
Yeah. Pussy popping.
Yeah, pussy popping. that's his name. Oh, God. Not having Vince Dunn, who, to me, is the most talented player on the team, and I'm going to say that word a lot, talent, besides goaltending, not having him, who quarterbacks the offense and has really made strides this year to do more of that, and not having him to anchor the D, that's been a huge loss. I think that has been devastating. He's the best player on the Seattle Kraken that skates. And that sucks. So that makes me mad. That's something we can't control. And, that did affect us quite a bit. That's not the only Seattle Kraken problem that we've got. But that's it. Now, here's what I'm thinking is I've got to start with GM moves. Like, what does Ronnie need to do? Okay. So I think what we need to do is make a choice here is, you know, Ronnie is all about investing in the future. And everybody knows this. Anybody who's a Seattle Kraken fan knows this. Our pipeline is strong. We've got talent in the pipeline. Ronnie's done a great job of just flooding the pipeline with young talent. We've got guys everywhere. But here's the thing is, you know, I'm a long-term Seattle Kraken fan. I am not going to be the fan that I'm disappointed, I'm bummed out, but I'm not going to be mad at this team because we're a young team, as in young in existence, and still building, right? And I do have faith. It's going to take a couple more seasons for me to see what's going on with the Seattle Kraken before I lose faith in Ron Francis because he's built winners. He's a winner. He knows what he's doing. So he's building this future pipeline. And if we don't make playoffs again next year, like, okay, as long as I see some movement. I've been seeing fans, Kraken Pod fans, Kraken players say, you know, this team's taking a step back. I'm so angry. I'm so mad. Number one, I'm okay with them not making playoffs. Number two, I do agree. They have taken a step back. The role players that we lost last year, and we don't know the behind-the-scenes stories as to why some of those players went away. I think Daniel Sprong was a problem. Some of the other guys, maybe they just, you know, they couldn't just afford them or didn't want to spend money on them. We lost those guys. The guys we replaced them with just haven't worked out. You know, Yams, love Yams, but, like, he hasn't worked out. Belmar, like, hasn't worked out.
Disagree on Yams, but continue.
Yams has done okay, but he's replaceable. And I hate saying that. Like I say that as a Seattle Kraken fan, and I really do love all these players. Like
I don't think he's replaceable. I think he's a guy that we need on the team. I wish more guys gave a shit like Yams did. I think he's a fourth line guy that we need to keep around.
Okay.
But again, that's just, you know, I'm happy. I like when we disagree on things.
I kind of cringe a little Belmar, bit saying
like,
it.
He's gone. Like, you know, I like the guy. Great personality. But that's, you know, personality doesn't win us hockey games.
So number one, the one bright spot that I think is conveniently not being talked about by a lot of fans because we're so bummed, but like our goaltending is great. Like now is Gru super expensive? Yes.
Yes.
Is he super expensive? Absolutely. But has he proven it this season? I think so. I think his body of work from playoffs last year through this year, he had struggles, of course, and that allowed Joey Decor to shine. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the stats, the Seattle Kraken are one of the best goaltending duos in the NHL, and that's one cornerstone that we can depend on, and that's with like defense that's been like okay, you know what I mean, like
at best.
Right. So the goaltending to me, like I wouldn't mess with it unless you can find a way, and I honestly would be bummed out. I'm hot or cold with Gru, but like. Unless you can find a way to like find a team to take some of Gru's contract off or you know like pawn some of that money off from him, I think we ride with Gru and goaltending is great. So like the state of the team right now, Vince Dunn comes back, this team is definitely better than they are like last week. Okay, goaltending good. Here's my biggest thing. Is with the pipeline and with the youth movement, it's going to take time. I think it is time to find a way to spend some money on a talent. And it doesn't need to be, you know, an epic talent that's going to cost us tons and tons of stuff. We don't have to, but like the leading scorer on our team for the longest time was Vince Dunn, right?
A defenseman.
Right. That happens with teams, but like Jared McCann is our current leading scorer. Mm-hmm. He's got like 52 or 53 points. He's 70th he's like 72nd or whatever it is in the scoring race. Mm-hmm. So we don't have a top 60. We don't have a top 50. We don't have a top. So you know what I'm saying? Is we're a team's team. And the team couldn't get it together this year. Last year it worked for us. We had the right, you know, juju. We had the right chemistry to make the team's team thing worked. And it got us, you know, to the second round of the playoffs. That was great. The team's team thing is not working anymore and will not continue to work. We need more talent on this team to stretch the ice out, open up the ice for the other players on this team that we love who are talented to shine a little bit more, you know, score a little bit more. And make, you know, more good things happen on the ice. But we need some players, a player or some different players on the ice that can attract attention from other teams to allow the rest of this team to shine. So like I'm really looking at, and I say this every year, I love having like, you know, a big splash made, bringing in new blood. But I really do think Ron Francis needs to find a way or find a person that is going to be the top scorer on this team. Somebody different than we have now. And that's going to be tough because the free agent list isn't that fantastic. You know, so like, I don't know exactly how you do it, but this team needs to get more talent. We need a talented skater, somebody who is going to get us a lot of points, whether it's goals, whether it's flashiness, whether it's speed. I don't know, but we've got to do something there.
Jared McCann, 53 points on the season, leads the Seattle Kraken. He is tied for 73rd in the NHL.
So, you know, I've been looking at the free agent list and like the number one guy that I love out there, and he's the number one guy on a lot of lists, is Sam Reinhart, who plays for the Panthers. Now, here's the deal is
Florida's not losing him.
Florida's not losing him. No. Florida has also too, like, it's Florida.
Yeah.
Like he, you know, it's warm weather climate, beaches, all they have, you know, the no state tax. I don't know what Washington does. I'm going to guess Washington taxes the fuck out of residents. I don't know. Could be wrong. But, you know, there's a lot of reasons.
He ain't swapping out the Florida sunshine for that Seattle weather. I can tell you that much.
And the Florida, that's a good team. That's a sneaky, that's a sneaky, like, top team in the NHL, by the way.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Like, nobody's thinking about the Florida Panthers, but they're damn good. So he's on a good team. He's a great player. That's the kind of player we need, though, is like somebody who's all around hard ass, like, you know, just great skater, cares, scores. And he's a great scorer and a great player on a good team. Jake Guentzel, who's with the Canes, who just came from the Penguins, he's a rental. Like, he'll be out there. Like, you know, that might be worth it there. There's options out there, but like we've got to find them. We've got to find somebody who can come in and draw some attention, some talent. And that's where I don't know what to do there. I don't know who it is. I don't know what Ron Francis does, but that's why he gets paid the big bucks to think like a chess player. And I think that's the way. I think that, you know, again, I could go with no playoffs next year, but after that, we've got to do something. So he's got to find a way in the next 6 months or so. Maybe it's not in free, you know, free agency this summer. Maybe it's, you know, trade deadline next year, but we need it. We need more talent. We need somebody to pop off. Anyway, that's kind of the, oh, and then the other quick things are, I think we keep Haxtell. I think he's shown enough here to, I think, keep him. But the one thing that is a must that for me is, I think the reason why you signed Ebbs to stick around for two more years is to give him the C. He needs to be the captain. We need a captain. We need an official leader in the locker room because if we're going to continue to, which I don't like, be the team's team, we need somebody who is clearly the team leader. And I know they have team leaders just by, you know, natural in the locker room, but the one thing for leadership in the with the organization, Ron Francis, Dave Haxtell, you got to give somebody the C. I think it's Ebbs. Give him the captaincy. Other than that, I say I'm cool with Haxtell for another year. So keep Haxtell. Ebbs is the C. Ronnie Francis has to find some talent. Keep the pipeline going. Goaltending's fine. Vince Dunn, healthy and mad and angry, comes back next year, and we're back at square one with a team that got there at some point, and I'm happy. So anyway, that's my rant on the Seattle Kraken as we head into the off season while making fun of other teams who are going to the playoffs.
The Seattle Kraken fucked around and found out. I will.
Great summary. End of pod.
Wrap it up. Hit the button. How can I word this? I believe that last year's team fucked this year's team. I say that because I believe that the Seattle Kraken last year overexceeded expectations. And as a result of that, And it was a great year. I mean, going second round playoff, you know, taking down Colorado, you know, taking Dallas to the wire, all of that was great. Again, I do believe that that team overexceeded expectations, which as a result impacted the offseason, impacted free agency, impacted the signings, and where, and this is, by the way, this is not a fault on Ron Francis and the rest of the staff. You basically have to alter the way in which you view this team and how you're going to proceed moving forward based off of the results. That's what you do as a general manager. So if you have a team that's taken Dallas to the wire in the second round of the playoffs, you don't really want to tinker with the team that much. You just want to, you know, bring in a couple of pieces and kind of keep it rolling and see how things go. And then the Kraken got exposed this season. I agree. I don't think that the team's team thing is working out. We need a top 30, top 40 scorer on the Seattle Kraken team. And while I like the pipeline, I love the pipeline. I love the young guys. You need a combination of you know, bringing guys in who are proven and can get the job done with a combination of the young guys, because you're also depending on the young guys to be brought up appropriately, have their skills honed, don't get injured, et cetera, et cetera. You're banking on a lot to happen. It's also like you're playing the long game, and that's understandable. But here's a big reason why the Seattle Kraken can't play the long game, Jeff. The Seattle Kraken are a top five NHL team when it comes to how expensive it is to attend an NHL game. In order, it goes New York Rangers, Maple Leafs, Vegas Golden Knights, Seattle Kraken. This organization cannot continue to put this product out on the ice when they are charging fans as much as they are for regular tickets, season tickets, concessions, etc. It is ridiculous. I mean, a study came out, this is in their first season, and the average cost for one person to attend a game was $176.
Wow.
Okay, that's top five in the NHL. The Boston Bruins are behind them at fifth at $158. I mean, the Kraken are like $8 behind the New York Rangers. Madison Square fucking Garden. I don't understand that at all. And it's not like that price has dropped significantly or anything like that. The Kraken just went 0-5 on a homestand that they desperately needed in order to push for the playoffs. And they're doing that while they're taking, I mean, they're stealing the wallet away from fans. And I don't believe that this organization, like, the organization has put themselves in a place where it's like, you want to charge that much? Fine. Give us a winning team. Because I'm sure as shit not paying to watch this team play in person. I'm just not. I mean, it's embarrassing. And yes, I agree that the Vince Dunn and Jaden Schwartz, especially like in the beginning of the season, like Jaden Schwartz was like the early on MVP for me. Having those guys out is a big deal. But even when they were healthy, I didn't think that this team was a playoff team. I hit the panic button in late November saying this is not a playoff team. I didn't see it. And it's one of those things where I was just like, we don't have the talent. For me, it was, and they continued to show this all the way until the nail was in the coffin. It was all about consistency. They couldn't find a way to keep winning games and to really build momentum. And a big thing that really stood out to me was they continually found ways to win. And there was a quote from Jordan Eberle the other night, and this was after the loss against Buffalo, I believe, where Jordan Eberle said, there is a very thin line between winning and losing, and we are on the other side, and we have to do what it takes to get over to the winning side. And I love a candid remark like that from, you know, from a veteran presence in the locker room. And speaking of Jordan Eberle, I'm pumped. I'm fucking so beyond thrilled that he has agreed to come back, you know, for two more years, and he wants to be a Kraken. Did they pay a little bit more than I wanted them to? Yes, but I think the 2 years is better than the three, whatever. Now, with that being said, the Kraken has serious work to do on their top six. I think that this offseason, you know what? I'll turn this negative to a positive because, you know, good vibes only. I think that as a result of this season and the Seattle Kraken being exposed, I think that this offseason, Ronnie Francis makes some serious moves. And we are going to go into 24-25 season very excited, because this roster is going to be looking very different, because now we have a real analysis of what this team looks like. And it's like, okay, we have some fucking work to do, because we have a hungry fan base and we want to win. And while we are playing the long game, we need to start figuring things out now, because what happened last season, this season now, is not acceptable.
I love what you said, and everything boiled down to me. The Schwartzy call there is correct. The injury thing definitely had an effect on us this season, but yeah. You did call it. Props to you. Joey was trying to push the panic button all season long, and that was appropriate. So props to you on calling that out. My positivity did not reach the team. I am available to speak to the team if they need me in the locker room.
Believe and believe.
Yep, I will totally dress up as Jeff Lasso. I can do that for y'all. But Joey nailed it. Totally correct.
And by the way, I forgot to, sorry to cut you off there.
No.
Trade deadline, when we made no moves aside from signing Eberle and letting Lenny go to the Rangers. That was indicative that Ronnie has a very clear understanding of the team. And is like, yeah, I'm not going to bring any more pieces right now, because we're not a playoff team. Like, I need to let this ride out for the rest of the season. And then off season, it's go time. To me, his lack of moves actually spoke volumes. Like, his silence said everything to me.
You know, that's a really good insight, because I'm with you on that 100%. I'm behind you. I'm behind you on this, in saying that it's time for action.
Yes.
And the inaction at the trade deadline, now with this perspective of where the team is and how they've fallen off, like, I think they maybe, if we're, because we're a vibes only podcast, you know, like, the beatings will continue until morale improves. That's what's going on in the locker room, maybe, is they kind of know, players kind of know, like, well, boys, this was our shot. We didn't make things happen. We'll stay connected. Here's my make sure you have my cell phone number. Make sure you got my handles on Twitter and Snapchat and Slip Slap or whatever. We'll keep in touch there. But this off season, I don't know where I'm going to be. I don't know where you're going to be. So what's up? So, like, that's a good call. That's a good call. Ron Francis, when he said that we didn't do anything stupid at the trade deadline, I love your analysis in saying that he knew this wasn't a playoff team. I'm not gonna try and fix this jalopy. So, you know, we're just going to
use that word too. He's like, I'm not touching this jalopy.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So,
and then the boys reply by saying, is that an Italian dessert? What are you trying to communicate?
Yep. Exactly.
Like, just play the rest of the season. Don't ask questions.
So here we are, is playoffs are out of touch. The Kraken are out of touch. We're going to have to now limp through the next. We got to find Joe, you and I have to rally and find a way to be into this team. Podcast numbers are going to drop. Twitter numbers are going to drop. X numbers are going to drop, because they're two separate things. Everything's going to drop off.
Yeah.
We're going to have to be trolls and come up with rants, and we're going to have to bait people into being interested in the Seattle Kraken. I don't know what we're going to do. You and I are going to have to go behind the scenes, do some chess moves, because nobody's excited about, we got to drop some new merch. I don't know if it's like, you know, Kraken Pod branded Lamborghinis or something. I'm not sure. But we got to do something to keep the interest here, because everybody's kind of ready to take a break from the Seattle Kraken this season.
It's hard to watch. And the last thing I will say, and this is not because, you know, you've shared your opinion on this. I am not in love with Haxtell.
But you never have been. I get it. And neither am I.
I never have been. With that being said, it's way too early, in my opinion, to view him as being on the hot seat, because what needs to happen first is Ronnie Francis and the rest of the front office, they need to give him a full, complete, serious roster and then see what he does with it. Because you can't, what do you expect him to do with the team that we are putting out on the ice every single night? I mean, like, what do you want him to do? Just finagle his way into these wins against, like, Vegas? It's not happening.
Yep. No, I agree. I agree with all this stuff. So, you know, the Las Vegas game, I just want to see us screw with them and beat them so we can troll the Golden Knights fan base, because they are the like most easily trollable fan base in the NHL. And I just want to help the cause to make them miss playoffs, which is a possibility, which I love. So anyway, that's the only one I'm looking at right now. Cause like, who wants to see, unless I'm in Arizona at that stadium. Yeah. Who wants to watch that? And then Montreal, nobody wants to watch Montreal.
Yeah. Sunday back. So Thursday at Vegas, Friday at Arizona, Sunday back home versus the Canadiens.
Yeah. Unless we get a win streak going.
I love that you're still Jeff Lasso. I love it so much.
I'm not thinking about playoffs. I'm just saying, like, to get people to want to watch the team.
Yeah, no, I get it. I mean, listen, we are watch every single freaking game, right? Rain or shine. It is what it is. But I don't blame people at this point for starting to tune out. Like, I saw some stuff on social media with people being like, oh, the Kraken are playing like this. Well, I have other plans, so I can just look at the score later on. It's like, yeah, I don't blame you.
Yeah.
They're not pushing for the playoffs. Like, someone needs to wake the team up and tell them that there's a game to play. Like, how can you expect fans to show up if the team isn't showing up?
Well, and I love that you said that. It's like, it's super expensive to go to a game. And yeah, I mean, shoot, I actually did look at Seattle tickets, like just flying out to Seattle.
Yeah.
I was just messing around the other day. I was like, what if we just like surprise showed up in Seattle for a game? It's like four. I was like, well, maybe I'll take, what if I took the family? That'd be cool to take the family, like surprise trip.
Yeah.
How much are tickets? It's like $1,000 a ticket just to get out there. It's like,
By the way, they updated the ticket prices August of 23. So those stats were from the first season. August of 23, the Kraken were actually number one in NHL for most expensive place to watch a game. It's fucking insane. Mm-hmm. The resale market was averaging $390 a ticket, which, by the way, is a good problem to have for the organization, because it shows you how hungry these fans are to go to games and they're willing to fork out the cash.
Yeah.
Now, but unfortunately, things have flipped because the product on ice it leaves something to be desired. And I don't think you're going to have the resale market at that point anymore. And again, if you want to start putting asses in seats and get kids hugging buoy and people trying to catch some yeeted fish, you're going to have to win some games in order for those things to happen.
Yep. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. All right. So I don't know what I'm going to do with betting right now. I don't know how I feel, because I love to use DraftKings Sportsbook app.
Take the over on goals. Just take
good call. Maybe I'll have to do that.
I think they hit the over on the first period against Buffalo. I was like, oh shit! If you took the over, I think you hit it in the first fucking 6 minutes.
Negativity against the Kraken are tough for me to do. But look, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. It is fun. There's a lot of fun. We got NBA, baseball. Golf's heating up. There's tons of cool stuff. Download the app now. Use code THPN. New customers can get $150 instantly in bonus bets for betting just $5 on hockey. Code THPN. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook. Official sports betting partner of the NHL. Crown is yours. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. If you've got a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net and see our show notes for details. And then Raycon wireless earbuds. They are super affordable, right? Like, the Fruit brand, not super affordable, not necessarily super dependable. Battery life is so-so. All those things checked off by Raycon. You're not going to spend a lot of money. You get great audio quality, great battery life. They sound awesome. Raycon wireless earbuds. You should check out what they've got. Tons of reviews, and they're going to make sure money-back guarantees. Like, they're going to make sure you really love this. 2 years of product protection. So go to buyraycon.com/THPN. That's buy, like I'm going to buy this. You'll get 15% off your Raycon order. So that's buyraycon.com/THPN. Score 15% off. Buyraycon.com/THPN. Raycon wireless earbuds. Awesome. Check them out. So let's get to some NHL news, some other NHL stuff to talk about. And the playoff push is going on. It's bittersweet to talk about which teams are going to be in and all that sort of good stuff. Once we get closer to the playoffs in the next 2 weeks or so, we're going to actually have to force ourselves without puking, Joey, to make playoff picks. So we'll do that.
Yeah.
But one thing is the GM meetings have been going on. And this was pretty cool. This kind of blew up over the past day or two here. Is Chris Johnston, who was an NHL reporter, he tweeted, interesting nugget coming out of today's NHL GM meeting. This was on Monday. Mm-hmm. A couple managers mentioned that the league has signed on to do a behind-the-scenes series with Amazon that will center around 10 to 12 star players. It's due for a fall release. Good. Hey, the NHL is on brand with doing stuff that other sports leagues have done for years. So they're finally come around to it, which is fantastic. That's good. At least they're doing it now. I love behind the scenes sports stuff, documentaries, shows. Yes. One of them is in my three stars of the week. I'm obsessed with something right now. Totally love it. So what a lot of people have been talking about is who should be these 10 to 12 star players that the team focuses on. And off air, before we went on, Joey and I were talking, is like, they're going to have to really work hard to find the right players, because out of all sports, NHL players are well known for being really lame when it comes to being on camera. They're well known for, yes, in interviews, just being like, no personality, very like just dry, no, nothing. And we know they're human and they have personalities, but like, we just don't ever see it. So who are we going to find that's going to be fun and interesting to watch and like to help grow the game of hockey? Because it's proven fact, these types of shows and personalities do bring in new fans, and it's going to be great for the league. So Joey, I know you haven't had a lot of time to think about this, but like, who would you want to see? We could start with the Kraken. If any player from the Kraken would ever be considered for this, I have one that I think should be a lock for this, but
do you want to try to say, are we going to say at the same time? You want to do 1, 2, 3 and see if we have the same answer?
Yeah. You ready?
Okay. Yeah.
One, two, three. Joey DeCord.
Yes.
Well, he proved it. He proved it.
Like Step Brothers. 1, 2, 3 John Stamos. Like,
well, you know, during the Winter Classic, like, he showed it, like, he was a media darling, yes, for a while. Like, he's got so much personality. He's funny. He's very easy on camera. He's himself. He's the only one of the only Kraken players that I've seen that is just like, he's always a breath of fresh air when he's talking. Like,
yes,
I bet you he's on. Will he make it in there? I don't know. But like, he definitely on the national scene, Winter Classic, he definitely turned some heads.
No, he did, and it was great. And afterwards, I listened to a full interview that he did with the fellows over at Spit and Chicklets, and they were giving him his props because they were like, dude, he kind of stole the show away from Biz and the rest of the crew that was on NHL on TNT and doing a national broadcast. So I actually legitimately think that Joey DeCord has a really, really good chance at being one of the people selected for this show. I hope that he is. It would also be smart for the NHL to get the Seattle Kraken involved, because despite the results of the season, again, this is a very hungry, very rapidly growing fan base, and it would make sense, which means that I don't know if the NHL will do it or not, but it would make sense for them to tie in the Seattle Kraken to this project, and just continue to get fans to continue, you know, growing the game and being interested in the sport. So I really do hope that is one of the people that are in it.
Now this is great fodder for sports writers and podcasts, because a lot of talk going on, lots of lists, and some people I agree with, some I don't. You know, like Bleacher Report, they're basically saying, here's the list from their writer, Connor Bedard, which I think is a necessary thing.
Bedard just makes sense. But now it depends how much are the Blackhawks going to protect him, right? Mm-hmm. And he can avoid some of that stuff. But
they bought into the hype. I mean, I think it's a must. They're trying to make him the face of the NHL. And if he can show some personality, like, that could really, his brand could explode in the Black, you know, so like, that's a must. The others, the Tkachuk brothers, like, they're insane. They're just having Keith Tkachuk, their dad, on would be awesome. Like, that's a must. Brothers, story, all that, they're going to be on it for sure. Old school Alexander Ovechkin, he's insane and hilarious. Yes. Right.
Yeah.
And then, like, from the David Pastrnak, who is actually pretty funny. Nate McKinnon, I don't, you know, like, obviously he's the MVP of the league this year. He's so good. But he also, too, comes
Tom
from
McJesus?
Hmm? No, nope. I mean, not in this list, at least. But I think
or Austin Matthews. I mean, shit. You want to talk about getting Canada involved? Go that route.
I agree.
McJesus is out. That guy's got no personality. And by the way, all he wants to do is work on his game. It's the reason why he's McJesus. So he's not in it.
But Nathan MacKinnon comes from that camp. He's like in that. Yeah. He's like in the Sidney Crosby disciples. So is Connor Bedard. But like he's in that sort of like just you know don't you don't talk you show what you do on the ice.
Yes.
The Hughes brothers, you know, Jack Hughes is like a surfer bro.
Yeah.
And like there's another brother story there too. So like, you know, that's pretty interesting. Clayton Keller from the Coyotes, he's a great player, but like I guess he's got some personality. I don't know anything about, you know, his personality. So there's I just if they pick the right players, this could be good because, you know, I do really love those shows and it really gets me into the sport.
Yeah, speaking of surfer bros, and then I'm taking it back to the Kraken really quick. That's who it looked like a lot of the offseason was spent with for Matty Beniers. I'm going to need him to flip that around a little bit because after this sophomore slump, we got to figure some things out there, Matty.
Yeah.
Same.
I think so. I think Matty will be okay. Like, it's Matty's a product.
No, I have high confidence in the dude, and no one's more frustrated about this sophomore season than he is, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I say Connor Bedard for sure, the Tkachuk brothers, and then after that, we'll see what happens on this. And they say a fall release. So, I mean, it sounds like, I mean, if you're, they must be filming this already. I don't know. So,
I mean, they have to be filming it right now, but also, I mean, look what Drive to Survive on Netflix did for Formula One in the United States. I mean, it makes sense. I know the world of golf, Jeff, is producing something similar to this to continue growing that game. And you're a big golf guy now.
I am. I mean, actually, it's on my list. We'll talk about it more. It's on my.
There you go. So I think it just makes sense, right? It makes sense for the NHL to go in this direction. I'm glad they are doing it now instead of 5 years from now, like they're doing with everything else. I'm pretty sure they just launched their own cryptocurrency last week.
I think so, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Like, hey, we're kind of back.
It's kind of back. Yeah.
Kind of back. Now that they started to, like, you know, actually officially legislate it, it's kind of back. All right, so that's I'll be watching that. I can't wait to see that. I hope it's good. Some sad notes. I just was looking at the stats. The headlines this morning is former NHL tough guy Chris Simon. He died at age 52. Chris Simon, Joey, was like, he was a forward. He was a role player. He scored some goals. He was a tough guy. Okay. He had it back in the day. He had a crazy long. He was known for his like middle of the back mullet that he had. He had badass. He was the type of dude that like you saw him and you knew like, oh, I'm not going to screw with that guy. And that's how he played. Like he was a tough guy. Now,
how did he die so young?
Well, that's what's interesting. I was reading into it and I don't know. It's not a lot of like information as to how he passed away, but his family did say that they believe his early death had to do with CTE. So traumatic brain injury. Because he was a tough guy back in when tough guys were still like, you know, fighting a lot. And like he got his head beat in a lot. And I want to, and I could be completely wrong. This is just guessing. And I, you know, if I'm wrong, you know, God bless. But I want to say there may have been some substance abuse issues that I think I remember hearing about with him, but that's just guessing. So if I'm wrong there, I apologize, but I feel like I think he's had a troubled life. Now, again, could be completely wrong, but anyway, long story short, his family simply saying that his death has to do with, they believe, the traumatic brain injuries. So I don't know exactly what happened, but it's a little, they're not saying much about what happened, but it's sad news. So
yeah, it is sad. Far too young. So rest in peace. Far too young.
So there's your notes around the NHL. You know, I kind of grieve over this week here with the Kraken, I will be ready to watch playoffs. I'll be excited about it. You know, so just, as long as a team wins that I don't hate, I'm okay with that. And I'm a little nervous about some of those teams out there. So
yeah, I agree. I'm with you 100% on that.
All right, no dumb questions. This is where, you know, if you've got a question and you're afraid to ask another podcast or you just can't Google it or you have a hard time Googling it because there's a trillion different answers, ask us and we're going to look for it for you. Other podcasts will laugh at you and say, please delete your podcast app. We don't want you to listen to our show because you don't listen. You don't know everything about hockey. We don't give a shit. We take everybody. So you ask us and we'll do the research. Statman will figure it out. I occasionally will do it. What is our no dumb question this week?
Excuse me. I'd like to ask you a few questions.
The no dumb question this week is, and it comes from Jared Rusnak, and again, just OG member of the Kraken Pod fam.
I think he's the leader, though. He might have. We might have answered like four or five no dumb questions.
Change this question to like ask Jared, or what does Jared want? I don't know. So we got to think of something good.
True.
Or he went to Jared. I don't know. So shout out to Jared. What are typical goalie splits? Then he also said it seems like Dave Haxtell finally realized that the team has two solid goalies and we do not need to ride one another into the ground. This is a good question. They were getting weird for a little bit. We're bringing it back to some normal shit. Also, I really like the weird questions, though. I kind of like it, right?
Yeah.
Like, and the game had a question. It was like, is the Chupacabra real? It's like, I kind of want to answer that on the podcast. Honestly.
We've talked with this. I was actually doing some research about the Wendigo. Have you ever heard of the Wendigo?
No. Is that like a Winnebago mixed with what is that?
No. Just like, I think we might have to start a cryptozoology podcast, which is like cryptids, you know, like the New Jersey Devil, Bigfoot.
Yes. Like, oh, yeah.
All
yeah.
that sort of. Wendigo is
Seattle Kraken.
The Kraken. Yeah. Yep. The dude. Anyway, sorry to interrupt there. But like back in the day, you know, goalie splits and like tandems really became a thing over the past 10, 15 years. Back in the day, it was like you literally ride like one goalie until they die. You know, like until they fall over. Like Martin Brodeur, like he would play 74 games and his backup would play like, you know, six.
Yeah, that the game has evolved a little bit from those days. In fact, there was that period during this season when, I mean, Hack was riding to Cord so hard and I was like, give the guy a break, but he was riding such a heater. And I was like, man, is this normal? Anyways, the game has evolved. And as of now, the current NHL, the average backup actually starts anywhere between 15 to 25 games a season. There are obviously factors that play into this. It's very dependent on how dominant the starter is. And also, if it's a truly 1A, 1B scenario, or if you have one individual who is just so far and above and beyond the other goalie options on the team. Other factors that obviously play into this are injuries and if one of the goalies are on a heater. And I looked it up really quick to see, you know, how many games our two main goalies have played this season. And again, speaking of injuries, this played a major factor into what was going on with the Seattle Kraken this season, because Joey Decord has played 43 games, whereas Philip Grubauer has played 27. So that is kind of where our goalie splits are. So Gru is actually operating as more of the 1B. I mean, not now, he's the 1A now, but was operating as the 1B because of the injury, took him out for a period of time, and Chris Drieger got called up, blah, blah, blah. Joey Decord was on a heater. So those things play into account. But the answer basically is, 15 to 25 games typically for the 1B goalie.
Yep. I like the splits. I like that. I mean, it's an extra. I feel like times were easier back in the day. I know I'm getting older, man. I'm starting to be like, man, back when I was a kid, goalies would just, they would play 1,000 games in one, and they would, a leg pad would snap off, including the leg in the middle of the game, and they would just. They would just take a bunch. They would tape a bunch of nacho boats together, and they would use that for their pads and their legs, and that's what they would do.
I once saw a goalie beat an opponent with his own leg that had broken off.
One time, a goalie's arm fell off, and his blocker fell off, and they had to run up to the Mrs. Fields cookie stand and take a cookie sheet, and they used a cookie sheet to make saves.
Yeah,
it was. And they still ate, and they ate cookies on the ice. And after the game, they had cookies, and everybody was happy.
There's cookies on the ice, Jeff.
And there was a Republican president in the office, and everybody had money, and houses cost $10.
Yeah, that's it. I got nothing. I can't make that better.
That's it.
You're cooking.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, great question on that one. Love that, Jared. I like your reference to the Jared jewelry store, and I'm glad you did not go to Jared Fogle. So
yeah, good God. I mean, yeah, I mean,
sorry, Jared.
What, is that a fucking prison visit?
Yeah. My name's Jeff. It's a weird name. So I get anybody that's famous, it's named Jeff.
That 22 Jump Street where he's like, my name's Jeff.
I mean, yeah, it is. Yeah, it was. Yeah.
It was, yeah.
Yeah. We're and not to confuse with G-off, because G-offs are fucking weird. I'm just, and they're all weirdo.
Oh, man, that ties into one of my third stars of the week. I'm pumped.
Let's go. Okay, here, three stars of the week. That was a natural
segue.
Three stars of the week is where Joey and I rank just like shit that's going on in our personal lives, and we share it with you in three stars of the week. So I need to hear this. G-off? What do you mean? What's up?
Well, okay, I will put my two star. I'll talk about it first because it is going to lead into it, which is whatever. My second star, then I'll do third. My second one is The Gentleman on Netflix. When you mentioned G-off, the G-E-O-F-F, so it's based in the UK. This is Guy Ritchie's first ever television show. So if you love the movie Snatch or, you know, Hawk, Too Low to Bear, he finally produced a show based off a film. And The Gentleman on Netflix, just finished it last night, is a fucking masterpiece. It is so brilliant, start to finish. Just it's exactly what you think it would be. And one of the main characters, G-off, aka Jeff, it is spelled G-E-O-F-F, is just an absolute badass. Like the cast is incredible. So yes, please, by all means, if anybody is listening to this and wants something to watch, The Gentleman on Netflix. If you are not familiar with Guy Ritchie's work, you need to familiarize yourself with it as soon as possible.
I saw one of the only movies as an adult that I saw in the theater multiple times was Snatch. Snatch is
incredible.
And
I'm not going to give anything away. There are gypsies that are involved in the show. And it's everything.
It's just awesome.
It's everything you want it to be. Now, it's a very, very small part. And also Theo James is the main character.
Yeah.
And he's incredible. He was in the last season of White Lotus, and he's a brilliant actor.
Oh, cool.
But all around, 10 out of 10, just a dynamite show. Like, give Guy Ritchie all the money in the world he wants to keep making shows, because this was great.
That's great. I'm totally going to watch that. I love that, dude. So
you're gonna be obsessed with it. It's great.
My third star is Steroid Shots. On Monday, I went to the doctor, and I was like, I don't know. My joint's swollen. I'm old. I don't know what's happening. I had hives. I got electrocuted. I did all this. And I just gave this into like, you don't have flu. You don't have anything. You're getting the steroid shot. Took the steroid shot. Oh yeah. Back to life. Feel good. That's it. Go. So, and then I was reading about it. I was like, how do I maintain this feeling all the time? And I looked into it, and I was like, you know, the steroid shot effects usually last like, you know, maybe like 2 weeks. And you should only really have a steroid shot, you know, when you need it a couple of times a year. And I was like, how do I game the system and just get a steroid shot like every day? Like, is that something I can do?
The United States of America. I'm pretty sure our presidents are like jet. I'm not even juiced. Joking. I'm pretty sure they give them steroid shots and like crazy vitamins. Oh. Like, all right, go out there and do your thing. And I'm like, woohoo!
But like, should I go to like one of those IV places and do like B12 injection? Like the get on? Should I just be constantly hooked up to an IV? Like, I feel good. Like, you know, life is destroying me right now. Physically, like, I'm getting wrecked.
Yeah.
I just need to pump myself full of, like, you know, what's the magic? Like, it's not, I don't need to do meth.
You need Kenny Powers.
But I want the effects of meth without the, like, the, you know, like, I want the energy of meth, but without the debilitating addiction.
I want to be a meth head without actually doing the meth. No, I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
By the way, I love that that's where your mind's at, because when I had my steroid shot, like, a couple months ago.
Yeah.
Literally, I had the same exact thought process where I was like, where can I buy this? Because my energy right now and my ability to like get shit done, I feel like I've taken like the pill, like Bradley Cooper in Limitless.
Yeah.
I felt like everyone else in the world was like a step behind me, and I'm just flying high on my steroid shot. The issue is I couldn't sleep for 2 days. Like it fucked me up. Like I legitimately... Yep. So I was up working on, so I was like riding it like 3 a.m, like I was like just going nuts. So yeah, it is legitimately like a drug. I mean, I had the steroid shot when I was sick, and I was on another fucking, actually, we record a podcast. Remember, I was like, I haven't slept. I've had some coffee. Let's just do this. I was fucking wired, dude. It was getting weird.
They told me too in the office, because I had like, because my the kids were all sick, like I mentioned at the beginning of the pod, and like my wife and I on Saturday and Sunday night, or maybe Friday, I don't remember, it's a blur, like we probably got 2 or 3 hours of sleep because we were dealing with kids. So like they said, oh, steroid shots gonna make, you're not gonna sleep, you know, you're gonna be, why? I'm like, I'm so tired, there's no way. And then sure enough, Monday night after the steroid shot, I woke up for like 3 hours. So like, god dang it. So
You're wired. And also, like, I was not only wired, but I was like ready to get shit done. Then I made the mistake of having coffee on it, and it was like a whole nother level. I was like, I'm about to have some heart palps over here.
All right. What's your second star of the week?
My second star, which is really my third star, is Friends, Lovers, and the Big Terrible Thing. I finished, this is Matthew Perry's memoir, aka Chandler Bing from Friends. I finished his book last week. Just an unbelievable book, man. I mean, just really a lift behind the curtain into his life, his struggles with addiction, his growing up as a kid and how that all kind of led to it, how he ended up being on Friends, how that impacted things. And it's just a really, really, really good read. And it was sad when he passed away a couple of months ago. And this book really gives you an insight into that. And just, I mean, he was a really good person, man. Just a very complicated, you know, individual with a lot of stuff that he just couldn't get over. And at the end of the day, it ultimately killed him, which is sad. The crazy part is you can actually listen to the audiobook that he narrates. So wow. I listened to like half of it, and it's him just talking to you about his life. And it's really fascinating. So I would recommend that to anybody. Friends, Lovers, and the Big Terrible Thing. I've been making it a point to read a lot more. I've been flying through books lately.
Is it on Spotify?
Yeah, Spotify. You can just pull it up, and it's great. It's so good.
So that's going to be, I'm going to do that. I love Spotify and the audiobook thing. I love audiobooks. It just like, I like to, you know, I need inspiration from other people every day. Like, to like just get motivated. Like, I need that. Like, whether it's somebody I see on social media or reading something, like every day I have to consume some sort of like, you know, inspiration from somebody else doing good things. And audiobooks, like, I just love them, and I've been flying through them. So I'm going to check that out. This is a book that's been around for a long time. I'm listening to The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen R. Covey. I'm not going to go. It's just a very, like, you're trying to like simplify your life a little bit. This is a great book to read because it's like, you know, been a bestseller for 30 or something years. It's fantastic because it just helps you kind of like focus on the 7 things that are like the core of, not, you know, trying to make $1 million or $1 trillion or just like just being a, you know, a better person to your family or whatever. Like, it's just a really good book. And I love everything about audiobooks. I love, you know, listening to the author or the narrator. I love the calming tone of it. I love the information. It's audiobooks have really, I just love that vibe. I need that in my life right now. So
I actually recently, speaking of that, and this will be helpful to you and also people listening, if you love audiobooks and you use Spotify, I discovered last week that Spotify caps the number of hours that you are allowed to listen to audiobooks on their platform. And then they cut you off and they don't make you, but they're like, oh, you want to listen to books more? Pay us more money. And really? I was pissed because I was really close to finishing Matthew Perry's book. What I discovered is if you, wherever you are, if you're in the United States, if you have a library card from your public library, audiobooks for free, unlimited, dog.
What?
Yeah. Go to your public library, get a library card. All the books they have available, you can get on audio, and they don't cap you. You can listen to all the books you want endlessly.
Is there a way to do it digitally, or you have to go get the actual CD?
There's an app for it too. Yeah, I forgot the app, but you just Google it, you can find it, and it's great. I also discovered that there's also an app that has movies and TV shows that if you have a library card, you can get for free. So now you have a free streaming service too. So basically, get a fucking library card.
I knew library cards. Like, there's tons of cool stuff at the library.
Oh, dude, it's ridiculous. Yeah, like the New Orleans Museum of Art, you can go for free and shit like that. But no, dude, like, you can stream audiobooks for free with a library card. And also, there's an app for movies and TV shows. So get a library card. Spotify will cut you off.
Well, if you remember, I don't know if I can go back to the library because that's where I recorded that podcast 2 weeks ago.
Trust me, I remembered.
Yeah, and they gave me the weird look after the fact.
I saw the Wanted poster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, so I don't know if I can go in there because he's back. And then
I'm like, waiting for the bounty to go up.
Yeah, honestly. Book police will just like tackle me, but they'll be old ladies. So I'll just like, you know,
stiff arm grandma.
Yeah, exactly. I'll walk out. I won't even run. I'll be like, yeah, stiff arm. I'm good.
So. Classic elderly abuse.
Exactly. All right. So we talked about it a lot with the behind the scenes sports stuff. Joey referenced it. My number one star of the week is Full Swing on Netflix. And it's not just like, you know, oh, here's just following through the season. There's a lot of great storylines going on in golf right now. You know, golf is seen as an old ass sport, and it's very, you know, uppity. The normal people who aren't into golf think like golf, but it's really filled with lots of personalities. And I got to give credit to the people, most of the guys that they picked on to feature on Full Swing is they let loose. Like they're just themselves. They really share a lot. You see a lot of stuff, and it's really awesome because like, I do love golf and golf. One thing about golf for me when it comes to sports is I've never taken the time to really know, you know, who's who and find people to root for and that sort of stuff. Like I'm just a fringe golf fan, but you know, like I'm really into it right now. Like one of my clients is a big golf tournament here in New Orleans, the Zurich Classic. And like, that's getting fun for me, which is cool, which is rare to have a lot of fun with a client. And then, you know, like we live now in a golf community. So like, I want to start getting into golf, and I'm going to tell you is like, this shit works. That's why I'm excited about the NHL doing this is like this Full Swing is getting me excited about golf. It's like, you know, if you know anything about golf, you probably know that there's been turmoil between the PGA and this new LIV Tour, which is the Saudi backed. They basically came in, hey, we're a new league. It's like if the NHL had a rival league and they had billions and billions of dollars behind them, and they just took Connor Bedard and Connor McDavid, and they took all the superstars or like a 10% of them, and they went and formed their own four team hockey league. And that's the kind of thing that happened in golf is like a whole bunch of people that were really great, popular golfers got offered crazy amounts of money to go join this closed league of 75 players. And a lot of players did it.
Hundreds of millions. And what's brutal is that some players held out because they're like, I'm not doing business with those guys. Like, you know, they go against whatever, right? Like that's your thing. And other guys were like, yeah, man, way to stand up. And then those guys that like propped them up bailed. And then those guys end up not getting any money. It's like, oh, shit.
Well, it still hasn't been figured out. There was like a weird late last year, there was a weird like, hey, the LIV Tour and the PGA, we're going to actually combine. But nothing's happened yet. Like, so like nobody knows what the state of the whole union is. Back to this show is they show all this like Rory McIlroy. Maybe you've heard of him, maybe not. But he's one of the most well-known golfers in the world. He's Irish and he's a big personality, and he kind of took on the I'm the representative for the PGA, the old school way. He came out and was like, I don't like the LIV Tour, I don't like these guys are doing it, I'm a PGA guy. And he got offered like $500 million or something.
Yeah, like absurd amount of cash,
crazy amount of guaranteed money to go do it. And he said, no, I'm a PGA guy, and I'm the PGA, I'm sure, backed him up and all that sort of stuff. And that's what's cool about Back to Full Swing is he's being filmed during all of this, and his whole story arc in his episode is about how he basically has turned into the face of the PGA, and his life turned into like going to this event and going to this press release and going to this and going to talk about this and constantly talk. And his golf game suffered because he didn't practice as much, and he just couldn't concentrate in golf because he was being the face of the PGA. And they put this in the episode, which is cool, is like when they announced that weird press conference in the fall of last year where it was like out of the blue, hey, we're going to team up with the LIV Tour, PGA, we're happy, yay. Rory didn't know that shit was happening. And he was so pissed. He's like, I just wasted a whole year being the PGA boy.
Yeah.
And now this, I've lost money and I haven't been golfing. And I'm like, and it was like just so as a sports fan and as somebody who's watching golf, you go like, holy shit. Like, I love this dude. This is, wow, this is crazy. So
also the money talks, building. Man, like that, you knew they were going to cave at some point. I'm a big Max Homa guy. I just think he's an awesome, awesome personality.
Yeah. Oh, there's, and that's, what's cool about this show is like, there's certain guys that you watch and you're like, oh yeah, like I don't like that guy, but you want to watch him because you want to hate that player. Like, you don't want to like root against him. But then there's other players who are like, I don't know who that dude was. He's awesome. I love that guy. I'm going to watch that guy and root for that guy. So
yeah,
like,
that's how I felt about watching Drive to Survive. I was like, oh, okay. Like, I can, I, now that I understand the personalities of some of these drivers, like, it's easy to root against and for other people. I get it now.
Yeah. So anyway, that's my number one star. Love it. I'm totally, it's getting me into golf. I was cleaning my golf clubs yesterday, by the way. I Googled it. It works. If you got any rust on your golf, the shaft of your golf club, soak it in soap and water for like an hour, like warm soap and warm water and soap. And then use like steel wool or some sort of, you know, sponge, abrasive sponge. It comes right off. It's awesome.
I love it. I love it, man. My first star of the week.
Shaft, Joey.
Just soak my shaft. All right. That's all. And then just take steel wool to it.
Yeah. So good. So good.
I'm going to call you crying. My first star of the week, and I'll say this really quickly, March motherfucking madness. March madness is here. This is, for me, this is the best time of the year for sports. I will say it every year. I'm pretty sure I said it on last year's podcast, but dude, here we go. We got baseball starting next week. I'm all the way back in on the Seattle Mariners. They're going to make the fucking playoffs. Jorge Polanco at second base, game over. Mariners going to make playoffs. We got NHL going into the playoffs this year. Baseball season starting. And now you have March Madness, which in my opinion is the best playoff in sport, period. I am a Colorado Buffalo. I went to the University of Colorado. They actually play a play-in game tonight, and the winner from that game ends up playing Florida, I believe, on Friday. So, like, it starts for me tonight. And, Jeff, I am – this is going to be a very old man thing of me because I've already established it as a tradition. I don't care how digitized everything gets. Yesterday, I drove to Kinko's Copies, and I printed out my brackets, and then I picked up a brand-new highlighter and a brand-new pen because as I watch the games, I have my paper brackets in front of me, and I highlight the winners, and I cross out the losses, and that's how I keep track of things. And I do it every year, and it brings me an absurd amount of joy. And one day when I get a vasectomy, I'm going to do it during March Madness because I'm just going to be chilling with a bag of peas watching basketball for 14 hours a day.
Bad news, dude. Vasectomy, like, recovery time is like nothing these days. So, like, you really can't use that as an excuse.
Son
but
of a bitch.
I know. All right, well, but, all right. Dude, that's I'm you just got me pumped because, like, I've been so, like, just between the as well-documented family shit and life shit for me, I've been so drained. The Kraken have drained me, literally, just like, I'm not excited about the Red Wings are fucking everything up. Like, I got no, the hockey love is like really low right now. Sports, I'm into golf, but it's like, I have no time to do shit. You just got me so pumped for, like, I haven't watched one fucking second of college basketball this year.
I could just throw it on in the background.
You just got me so pumped for this fucking Buffs game tonight. Like, let's fucking go.
Yeah. I think they're going to
go Buffs.
I don't want to jinx them. I'm really nervous. They could have won the Pac-12.
Fuck you. You are not a Buffs fan. I am. They're going to win tonight. Play in game. Play again on Friday. Where the fuck? What is wrong with you? Get it together. The Buffs, Buff stuff, bitch.
I'm so
Buff stuff.
Hashtag Buff stuff, bitch.
I'm getting all my earmuffs in now. Nobody's home. Fucking Buff stuff, bitch. Let's go Buffs. Fire up Buffs. I don't even know what the slogans are. I don't even know what to say. Like, let's go Buffalo.
I always do multiple brackets because I have the one bracket where I'm like, Colorado wins a national championship, and then I have my real brackets.
Yeah. You got to have the bizarro world. Like,
I got to have like bizarro, like, this is bananas. Where I go off of like numbers and like random shit. And then there's another one where I'm like, all right, I think these teams are actually going to win. And then guess what? Every year it gets busted anyways. And that's another great thing about March Madness, man. I mean, it's literally madness. I'm so excited for like just games to be going down to the wire and just having like a constant Twitter feed of like last second shots and like people running to center court and just fucking bedlam going on in these games. So I'm pumped.
Yep. Well, I'll tell you what, man, is look, hang on. Just hang. Let's take our, if as a Seattle Kraken fan, back to hockey, back to the Kraken pod.
Yes.
You know, just take your time, take your own, you know, be on your own journey with your anger or sadness or wherever you are in the 12-step recovery program for Seattle Kraken fans. Do you the next week or two here, feel it, do that, but like just get to the off season.
Yes.
Limp into the off season. And I feel strongly, I think Joey feels strongly that the Kraken will figure out to make the right moves to get us pumped about next season again. We took our lumps. It is what it is. We're a young team. We're figuring it out. as we grow as a franchise, we're going to be all right. So just do your thing. Do what you need to take care of yourself until next episode. We'll see what happens here. But Seattle Kraken fans, we feel you. We're right here with you on this journey. If you need us, DM us. We'll talk you through anything. You know, we're going through it right now, just like you are. So just hang in there. All right. So, you know, let's see what happens this week. Maybe we'll get some, what do we call it? Like, just like some bulletin board, like feel good material. You know what I mean? Like, let's just feel good about something. Let's have something.
What was
good
your first star of the week?
I already did it. It was Full Swing.
Oh, sorry. I thought it was your second star. Sorry.
No, Steroid Shots, the book, The Seven Habits of Highly Defective Assholes, and Full Swing. So there you go. Yep. Okay. There you go. So anyway, all right, dude, have an awesome week. We shall chat for sure.
Yes.
The allergies have hit me this morning, dude. What the fuck?
Oh, same, man. I woke up today and was just fucking sneezosaurus over here, just nonstop, just blessing my apartment with the sneezes.
My eyes are red. My eyes are red. I'm so dry. Like, I'm stuffy.
Yeah. I did so much work on a house this past weekend, and it was mostly me just cleaning pollen. I filled an entire trash can full of pollen.
Just know this, is everybody you see in your life, whether at the grocery store or friends or family, everybody's going through it right fucking now, and they're just putting on a happy face. That is the rest of the world. Like, everybody's got some shit in their life that, like, is crazy, but they got allergies or their kids are sick or something's going on, but they're going to say, like, oh, yeah, things are good. Meanwhile, like, there's a, you know, that little dog that sits in the kitchen with the cup of fire, like, everything's fine. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you know, anyway.
Yeah. It's fine.
Do you get that reference?
It's like, be nice because you never know what battle someone is, you know, really.
I'm not battling anything major. Life is good. God is good. Family's good. Everything is good. I'm just battling 1,000 little things. So death by 1,000 cuts right now. That's what I'm dealing with.
I love it. Death by 1,000 cuts, which was the Seattle Kraken's mantra that we gave them for last season.
Fuck, dude. I tell you what.
Year it was, we're getting stabbed.
Can we just beat the Golden Knights for just some pride? Just for some pride in our team? They literally dry lube fucked you last week.
Yeah.
You know, no lube.
Wow. God, no one's really home for you today, huh?
I'm really off the rails here. All right. It's time to hang it up. All right, man. Should go to work.
Yep. Time to get going.
All right. All right. Have an awesome day. You have an awesome day, Joey. Have an awesome week. Let's go Kraken. And we're going to leave you with the Kraken Pod chirp of the week.
No one ever said Chris Simon was not tough enough to play in the NHL. He spent the first four seasons of his NHL career with the Quebec, Colorado franchise, culminating in a Stanley Cup championship. He was the enforcer, racking up 555 penalty minutes on a team bursting at the seams with finesse players.